Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines and a much different day on Wall Street Thursday than just a day earlier. A massive rally at the corner of Wall and Broad with the Dow Jones Industrial Average gaining 553 points to close at 88.35. That was a recovery from a point where the Dow was down nearly 300 points earlier in the day's trading. The S&P 500 adding 59 points to close at 9.11, while the NASDAQ rose 97 points to finish at 15.97. Oil closed at $58.24 a barrel, up $2.08 compared to Wednesday. President Bush was also in New York City today talking about his administration's handling of the current economic crisis. Speaking at Freedom Hall in Lower Manhattan at an event sponsored by the Manhattan Institute, President Bush says right now it's important to make sure that our principles of how the economy best works in the long run are not impacted by trying to deal with the current crisis. The president says capitalism is always the best way to go.
Like any other system designed by man, capitalism is not perfect. It can be subject to excesses and abuse, but it is by far the most efficient and just way of structuring an economy.
President Bush also saying that the aim should not be for more government intervention, but smarter government with free markets and free people.
Our aim should not be more government. It should be smarter government. All this leads to the most important principle that should guide our work. While reforms in the financial sector are essential, the long-term solution to today's problems is sustained economic growth. And the surest path to that growth is free markets and free people.
The president also says protectionism and excessive regulation are not the ways to go. He says that was tried in the early days of the Great Depression and it only made the situation worse. Elsewhere, a Christmas gift from Congress may come late for the big three automakers. Senator Chris Dodd of Connecticut, who chairs the Senate Banking Committee, says there's simply not enough Republican support for a loan package for the auto industry during the current lame duck session of Congress. There will be much greater Democratic majorities in the House and Senate early next year. In light of that, Dodd says it may be better to wait until that time when a new Congress goes into session and Barack Obama will be in the White House. The industry is seeking about $25 billion in bridge loans, but the figure could go much higher. Over in the House, Congressman Sander Levin of Michigan said the auto industry has been forced into its current crisis by the credit crunch. He said sales and production have slumped because consumers cannot get auto loans. Senator Dodd and his colleagues on the Banking Committee on Thursday also wanting assurances that financial institutions are using federal bailout funds responsibly. The Bush administration has been distributing parts of a more than $700 billion package for the troubled financial sector. In a hearing from his committee today, Senator Dodd stressed accountability and transparency, saying lending institutions have a responsibility to taxpayers.
Acceptance of public funding carries with it a public obligation, in my view. One cannot benefit from taxpayer support in all of its many forms and assume that one has no duty to serve that same taxpayer.
The Bush administration taking on plenty of criticism for its handling of this crisis already, but certainly in the wake of Wednesday's announcement from Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson that the money which was originally earmarked to buy up troubled assets has been used more to the point of investing in equity in major U.S. banks to prevent them from failing. Florida Republican Senator Mel Martinez says he believes the government steps instituted by the Bush administration have been well-intentioned.
They've all been timid and they've been late. I think we need to get aggressive and get ahead of the problem once and for all.
The number of people filing new jobless claims reached the highest level last week since the post-September 11th time period back in 2001. Today's Labor Department report says new claims for jobless benefits climbed to 516,000 for the week ending November 8th. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez is expressing concern over those new numbers.
We don't like to see those numbers either. The president believes that anyone who wants to work should be able to find a job. We know this is a big concern for the American people.
In other bad economic news, as the credit crisis worsens, foreclosures continue to rise, with one in every 450 U.S. homes facing the process. Numbers from RealtyTrack show foreclosure filings were reported on more than 279,000 properties in October. That's a 25% increase from October of last year and a 5% jump from just the previous month. Nevada holds the dubious distinction of having the nation's highest foreclosure rate for the 22nd consecutive month. One in every 74 homes in the Silver State receiving a foreclosure notice in October. That's more than six times the national average, an increase of 11% from the previous month, and a 119% hike from October of 2007. Turning to the political front for a second, Alaska Senator Ted Stevens now slightly behind his opponent, Democrat Mark Begich, during ballot counting in Alaska. In the first count after Election Day last week, Stevens led by over 3,200 votes. However, with some early votes now being tallied, Begich leads by 814 votes. There are still tens of thousands of additional absentee ballots that still need to be counted. Still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington, we'll talk with Bob Knight at the Culture and Media Institute about what he considers the slanted coverage of the ongoing protests over the passage of Proposition 8 in California. We'll also talk with Dr. James Robbins about the impact of an Obama administration potentially reversing course on missile defense. And when we come back, John Gizzi. Stay tuned.